Good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Thursday, the 31st of December, the final day of the year. And I don't make this shit up, I promise you. I mean, today I thought I'm going to do a nice long pod today. A few bits I want to cover, a few things I want to talk about, add in a story. And I have finished the year pretty much as it's all gone along, being a complete shambles. I have spoken for about 35 minutes. I thought I'll get it all done before the 11 o'clock racing files. And I forgot to press record. So I basically didn't realise, and I spent through the whole thing, the full 30 odd minutes, talking to myself. And it's a simple process. You open up some software, you check your mic, you click a couple of buttons for settings, you press record and you talk, and then you press stop, and there's a file there to convert. And I went through all that, except stop wasn't working and there was no file because I'd been talking to myself. Absolute bell end. So I am going to do the whole thing again. I really haven't got time, but I feel it's the last day of the year and I've got to do it. So I've got some beauties today. I think it'll be good fun. I see the COVID grabbed Spurs last night. We were spared watching Tottenham get to the halfway line, get their nose bleed and turn around and go back again. Spurs have emailed saying, what's your favourite moment of Tottenham moment of 2020? I think probably that cancellation last night and not having to watch it again. Who knows whether it's going to, you know, people making statements, it's going to end, it's going to have a break. Who knows? I think this, and I'll come on to it in another topic in a minute, this trying to set times and deadlines and say this and say that is absolute waste of energy and fruitless. There's only one thing in control here, and it is this virus. And that will determine whether football goes on or not, because if it continues as it is, I'm pretty sure football won't continue as it is. If they do get it under control, then fair enough. But you can't go around having games cancelled 3 hours before repeatedly. But we'll see what happens. But to stand there and say it categorically won't, or it categorically will with anything at the minute, I think is just a bit of lunacy. And you are a strange old bunch. The one thing I love it. Many nice messages about the podcast, many nice messages saying thanks for doing it and kept us going and this, that and the other, is I don't think people are, I think you underestimate how much it keeps me going. It gives me something to do every day, something to get up and talk about, different things. Sometimes it may be 2 minutes, sometimes it may be 40, covered many, many topics, stories and things over the couple of years now. But without doubt, I can feed off what you guys do. And I think people have realised that actually just sending me pointless abuse in an email or a text, WhatsApp, direct message or whatever. You know, I've put up with that for 10, 12 years, you know, and some of it's serious. I've had people threaten to kill me, all sorts, genuinely. And there's certain situations you go to the police and say, look, this guy's being out of order, deal with that. There's people that you can just ignore. And then there's people you think, I wish I could say my piece here. And obviously the podcast has given me the tool to do that, because I didn't do podcasts up until 2 years ago, so a lot of these people just got away with it. Whereas the podcast, even if it's not really getting to them, it's giving me a release of having to put up with it. And without doubt, and I know you'd all like me to rant more because a lot of you enjoy those, the rants tend to come from when people interact with me and I think, hang on a minute, I'm not having that. But you are a strange bunch because, you know, most podcasts generate some sort of comment. If there's one that I go on about, be it a Mindset Monday one, whatever it might be, why do you do this betting-wise, why do you do 20 minutes, whatever. But I made a comment, I think it was yesterday, I genuinely can't remember, it might be the day before, about Sam's birthday coming up. I said something like, she's 55, I should go out and trade her in for a younger model. And somebody contacted me as if I was being serious and thought I was being disrespectful. It was a joke. It's a joke. And after 28 years or more of being with Sam, I can tell you that she can withstand a joke, as can I. And I don't think anything like that would. Well, I just don't. I was kind of sort of mesmerised by the. Why would you even bother to comment on it? But it is the world we live in. The, you know, the whole thing, the sort of public perception that men can't have women friends, and there's always an ulterior motive or whatever. I've got many female friends, friends of mine, friends of Sam's. I've got a really good friend that I'll go off to the cinema with her because Sam doesn't want to see the movie. We just go as mates. It's simple as that. And I remember back when I was sort of thinking about this, once I saw that yesterday, it sort of, your mind runs away. I thought, what a strange thing to comment on. When I went to Japan and watched Japan versus Scotland. And I, you know, I, whenever I go away, I phone home every single day, speak to Sam, check she's all right, this, that, and the other. So she was well aware of what I was doing in Japan, well aware of what was going on, well aware that the rugby was cancelled and we were going out drinking and this, that, and the other. And I went to watch the Japan-Scotland game. Those of you who've been around that long will remember. Absolutely brilliant. Loved it. Fantastic. One of the best nights of my life. On a bar spilling out into the street. All the Japanese watching this rugby match and going mental for it. It was just brilliant. And we ended up, me and my mate, in amongst sort of four or five women who were out on the street with us watching it. And they, I don't think they had a clue what was going on in the rugby, but just because it was Japan, they were going mental and laughing and joking. We had a right old good laugh. And I think I posted a photo with them. And I might put it on Twitter. I had a good few beers and people saying, does your wife know you're out there doing that and that? I just think it's really odd behaviour for me to make a comment like that or post a picture. It doesn't mean anything. It's just a joke, bit of fun. I think people have lost the element of having fun, haven't they? Sam and I joke about things. I'm a natural born looker and I'm a George Clooney type. She knows what she's up against. She keeps trying to feed me fat food, keep me fat. Because she knows I can't help it. She always liked Andy Garcia. You know, Andy Garcia comes on a movie, she says she's drooling at the mouth. She loves him. You go back to the old episode of Friends. Do you remember, I don't know whether people watch Friends, the episode where Ross and Rachel laminate their cards of five people of the other opposite sex? And Sam and I joke about that to this day. She always said Andy Garcia would be top of my list. And it was Demi Moore for me. I'd need to revisit it now, though, as the old plastic surgery's done a bit on Demi, and it's a bit not what she was. Yeah, Demi Moore, Sandra Bullock, see? There you go. Give you a little insight into my brain. And then I had another comment. Apparently, I've been doom and gloom of the current situation. I don't think I have. I think I've been... interesting, I digress. I had a chat with Suggsy the other day. I phoned Suggsy up, and... invariably, we'll talk about two things. We'll talk about punting. You know, do your pleasantries. How are you, mate? All right, blah, blah, blah. And then we'll talk about punting. Or we'll talk about Spurs. And it'll be one of those way rounds. We'll start on Spurs, move on to punting. We'll start on punting, move on to Spurs. Nearly invariably, that's always the way it goes. And he said he'd been talking to Kevin Kelly about me, saying that I'm a strange bloke, which he's right. I am a strange bloke. Saying that I'm so positive with anything. Suggsy sees bets I have, sees the sorts of runs I can have. He knows everything, you know, a lot of what I do. And has done for a number of years, and we'll go out. And he'll say, his exact words, he said, I was talking to Kevin about you. He said, you're so positive betting. He said, unbelievably positive. Bad runs, good runs. He said that it doesn't make sense that you're so negative about Spurs. And, it just shows what an idiot he is, really. Again, I said, it's a realism. The punting I can control. I'm in full control of that. I can put bets on, not put bets on. I can choose what I bet on. And I know over time I'm going to come out winning. Spurs, I can't do anything about except watch the abject disappointment they serve up week in, week out. And on three results, Chelsea, City, Tottenham, people talking to Tottenham winning the league, of which I wasn't one. Whilst I was singing top of the league, that was jesting. That they're just shite, and it's the realism of it, and that leads me into, somebody said I'm being doom and gloom with my predictions for this going along into next year. I don't think I'm. I think I'm being a realist. I think like with the football postponements. I think last night Boris has been accused of saying that, He said the 5th, I didn't watch the press conference. I did grab a quick thing on Twitter this morning, clip, which I was looking for that. I didn't really get all of it, though, because I was trying to do other stuff. I don't think he did say the 5th. I think he said the word 5th, but I don't think he said, I'm telling you it'll be sorted by the 5th. I think he was alluding that other people had sort of said it'll be that Easter weekend when things are better. I'm sure they will be better than they are now, because weather will play a part in it, longer light hours will play a part in it. But if we think that this is all going to be back to normal by spring, you're fucking mad, because the maths doesn't add up, simple as that. The science says about 70% of the population has got to be vaccinated for this to be effective. So if you take kids out of things, we're talking about 40 million people. 40 million people to vaccinate. They've got to have two jabs. That's 80 million jabs. I think the one they approved yesterday is still two jabs. I haven't double-checked that, but I think it is. So that's 80 million jabs. Even if they do 2 million a week, that is 40 weeks. So that's 10 months. That's October. And then obviously if you haven't got to that stage by then, you're moving back into a winter. So I don't know how many people they're going to be able to do. I think 2 million will probably be up there, and that would be fantastic. I think they did 500,000 in the first 3 weeks is a way to look at it. Obviously, it will get ramped up, but you've got to have the people to do it. You've got to have the supplies to do it, and you've got to have the people able to go and do this. And I'm sure people will make it their priority. You've obviously got anti-vaxxers to contend with. So I think, yes, it will get better because the weather's going to help us. But I do not think we are looking like anything like normal in reality till 2022. But certainly I would think the back end of 2021, particularly for people in the hospitality industry and that, they will see a much better time than they've had now. I just think I'm being realist. That's all. It's a massive thing. It's unprecedented times. It's a massive thing. We've got a fucking idiot at the wheel. I mean, I just take anything he says. I don't listen. I assume, I've got one rule. I assume if Boris Johnson's talking, he's lying. And then you can't be disappointed. Why would you put time spans on things? You can't control it. It's a virus that is running rampant. I get it. He doesn't want to stand up there and say 10 months because people are going to shoot him down. But don't say anything. Don't give people this false hope. We had Trump saying it'll be gone in 15 days. We'll be normal by Easter. Boris said we'll be all right by Christmas. Stop doing it because you get hope into people that you shouldn't. Be a realist. Be like a Tottenham fan. And it's interesting with the anti-vax situation. If that's what you believe in, I've had a couple of people comment really that they're not going to have it. Email me. I've got no massive view. I think it's a personal choice. What again irritates me, it's the false narratives, the false news around it. If you're of the mindset that I won't have this vaccine because vaccines normally take years, you're just a fucking brainless idiot. That's the facts of it. A brainless, you're mental, because a vaccine research has numerous stages. This one has gone through every single one of those stages. What they've been able to do is overlap some of those stages, and often what holds up vaccine research, and I know this from somebody who's a virologist at Cambridge University, he's a friend of mine, is often stuff like the research funding, and they have to wait and get annual approval, and that holds it up, and they're doing it alongside other things. And I've spoken to this guy numerous times over the course of this last 3 months about this vaccine and what's gone on and procedures, and he said it's with this, it's had the world throw money at it. There's no manpower issues. They basically have fast forwarded the timeline because they've been able to, because they haven't had to wait for funding or manpower. And often when they're doing vaccine research, it's alongside other sorts of research, so it's not a full committed thing just to that, where this has been. And if you're comparing it to things like thalidomide, measles, vaccine development, you're just a fucking idiot. That's the facts. But I can't take that away. People believe what they want to believe. I'm sort of winding my way to that because they'll watch a YouTube video that backs up what they say from somebody with their confirmation bias, and you're wasting your time. That is from somebody in the game that I know. I trust him implicitly. He's got no axe to grind on anybody. And he's talked me through how this has been done. And I believe him. And that's it. It's not a mainstream media or you believe what the elite say. This is just a guy who's in that job. And the biggest thing is the funding. He said funding is what holds up vaccine, you know, that having to get approval all the time, having to prove that you're going in the right place, where this has just been open the floodgates, have as much money as you need, and get it done. But if you're an anti-vax, I've got no issue with you. I'm not here to have there. Just, I don't know why people email me and tell me shit like this. Just respect other people's decisions. If you don't want to have it, don't have it. We live in a world where we can't all agree, but you don't seem to be able to disagree civilly with anybody anymore, is it? It's a real new phenomenon. I'm just of the view, if you don't want to have it and you say to me, this is why, fine. But we can't. We've got to be black or white. And I'm telling you, it's shit. It's going to kill everyone. Legs are going to drop off. This, that, and the other. Fuck off. Just stop doing it. Stop it. So there we go. Yeah. So I do know some intelligent people, see? As well as the idiots, I know some intelligent ones. Right, and we've had the old request to stories. I did the John Lewis one. I can't remember. What other one did I do? I've done a couple this week, so I'm fucking useless at forgetting this. But the two that have been most requested, I did the bag on the train. Brilliant. Bag on the train. Yeah, that's my bag. Fucking do-gooders. love that. But the two that I've told that have been requested are the Jethro story and the vasectomy. So I know there's people who've heard both of those. There'll be people, hopefully, who haven't listened to the podcast that long that haven't. Can't remember when I told them, but probably back in 2019. Jethro, I'm going to do Jethro today. We'll save the vasectomy. As Scott Harvey requested a New Year's Day special, or James Carrigan, one of them did, laughing at my suffering. But I'll do the Jethro one today. So this goes back 30 years. I was 18, 19. Played a lot of golf. I was a good golfer. Played with decent players. Played a lot of golf with celebrities. Played with Jimmy Tarbuck. Bernard Gallagher. Played with Kenny Lynch. And I played with royalty. I'm the only man who played with royalty. Well, not the only man, because there will have been other people in this situation, but I can't really talk about it, because you saw, have you played with anyone decent? I played with Ian Woosnam when he was world number one. Play with anyone decent, I'll always say Ian Woosnam. I used to be able to throw in, I played with royalty. And now I can't, because if I say I play with royalty, people say, who was that then? All excited, and I have to say Prince Andrew, played with him twice, and you're a fucking pedo then. People looking to see if I sweat. Fucking hell, how's my luck there? But yeah, so I played a lot of golf. Get off track then. My mum moved down to Devon in the mid-80s. My old man went inside. My mum, disgraced, didn't want to be showing her face in the neighbourhood. She's a very proud person, so she upstick sold the house and moved down to Devon. So I stayed up in London doing my A-levels there with my brother, and we used to go down there in the holidays, played a lot of golf, got quite friendly with a golf pro down there. And I was going down for the second summer, I think, and he said, I was about 18, I think, and he said, there's a great tournament, Ian, on the Isles of Scilly. He said, I play in it every year, it's like a pro-am. He said, you should enter it, think it'd be right up your street, you'll enjoy it, it's a good couple of days. So he got me a form, and I entered it. And it is a pro-am, you play with a regional professional, you play with a member of the Isles of Scilly Golf Club, an Islander, and two other amateurs who've entered it from the mainland. So I'd be one, I'd be put with another one. We play with a pro and one of the members of the golf club. They fly you out there on helicopter, so it comes down to the tournament, drive down to Penzance. They fly you out there on RNLI helicopter or RAF, whatever the sea rescue things. You literally throw your gear in that, you sit back at one of them, and they take you over to St. Mary's, the main island there. I think it's St. Mary's, isn't it? The land, and you go off into the town, and the islanders put you up. So basically, Jan and Dave live next to, Dave and Liz. And Jan and Dave will move in with Dave and Liz, and we'll have Jan and Dave's house for two nights. And fantastic, lovely, lovely people. So friendly, such good fun, very relaxed. So we've been helicoptered out there. We get there, get in the town, get our house, me, my pro that who told me to come, and a couple of other guys. And we go and have a beer, and the first night is a gala dinner. So we go up to this gala dinner at the golf club, and you sit in round tables, and it's basically a piss-up. Basically, you're just sitting there. It's a pre-tournament night out, and they have an auction at the end where they auction the pros. So you get your team of three, the member of the golf club, the two amateurs, and you bid for the pro you want to play with. And there's one guy out there who was a good player. He'd been in a car crash. And I think the driver had been drinking, so he didn't drink. So he was like the pro that everybody wanted, because he sat there drinking orange juice and lemonade all night and was the only sober man in the room. So I think he did win it 3 years out of six or something like that. Always up there. He was a good player anyway. But he had the massive advantage that everybody else was just getting pissed. So he was sort of the top bids. I didn't have much money then. We'd sort of look and say, we'll put 50 quid each. And we normally ended up with one of the lower ones down the bottom. But you used to sort of sit and see if anybody was getting completely paralytic. You thought, well, I don't want to be with him. I mean, the guy who I went with, he was an absolute alky. Never wanted to play with him. Great fun, but didn't want to play with him. So we've had this gala dinner, been good fun, and it's got to the end of the night, and I don't know, 10:30, something like that. We're at the bar, and there was six of us left. There was me and the pro who I'd gone out there with. There was two guys who were members of the Golf Club Islanders, obviously the barman, and there was the comedian Jethro and his manager. And that was it, the six of us left, just chatting away. You sort of merge into one group and chatting. And Jethro he was a keen golfer, from what I understand. He is slagging off a golf course in Wiltshire called Bowood, Cowan, I think it is, in Wiltshire, near Chippenham. And he's slagging the place off. I think it had not been open long. And I played it a couple of times. I thought, it's not that bad. He's like making this sound. And I've listened to him. And me being me, particularly when I've had a drink. And I've got to remember, I was young, probably full of myself. Arrogant, bit of a twat maybe. I thought, I can't have this. And after a while, I've started arguing with him about it. And we're basically going around the golf course, and he's talking, and I'm saying, well, hang on, you hit it down there. It's good old, this, that, and the other. And it's getting quite heated. We've gone on like this for 5-10 minutes. And he's annoying me. I'm not going to lie. He was fucking annoying me. So I've ended up listening to him talk. I think, well, he can obviously play the game, because he's talking like he can play the game. So I've ended up saying to him, what do you play off anyway? And I'm expecting him to say 5-6. You know, I played with Jimmy Tarbuck. He was off 3 or 4. Kenny Lynch was off 4. You know, they play a lot of golf, so I thought he's going to be half decent. So I said, Jethro, what do you play off? And he comes back and goes, 18. To which I didn't respond very well. I went almost verbatim. I mean, it's 30-odd years ago, but I went, 18? 18, you're fucking shit, mate. You can't even fucking hit it. Fucking 18, and you're sitting here slagging golf courses off. You're fucking useless. And unfortunately, I didn't leave it there. I then moved into, and I know there'll be people of differing ages listening, but the people who my sort of age and beyond will remember, he was big on TV at this time. He was on the Des O'Connor show, you know, back then. My mum loved Des O'Connor, God rest his soul. She'd be watching him, and I remember people like Jethro and that Stan Boardman, whatever, they were on it all the time. And I went into his comedy. I went, and you're not even fucking funny. Your jokes are fucking shit. And it has then all completely kicked off. The whole fucking, everything's kicked off. His manager wants to kill me. The pro I went with is trying to drag me out the clubhouse. I think the two guys from the Isles of Scilly haven't got a fucking clue what's going on. Yeah, so it's all kicked off. So the guy I went with, he said, come on, we're getting out of here. And I'm saying, your fucking jokes are shit. You're fucking useless. You're fucking garbage. And the golf course is, I just remember, it's up on top of a hill. I'm absolutely pissed. And you've got to walk down into the town. You can either get a cab, but it's late. So we've walked down to down the hill, come to the first pub we've gone in there. And it's full of people who are playing in the golf thing. And we've sort of pallied up with 5 or 6 guys from Wolverhampton. They always stretching out people from Wolverhampton if you talk to them. Wolverhampton, they make their vowels like it's got 4 or 5 extra vowels in it. I'll just remember taking the piss out of them for that. And ended up drinking brandy in Lovage. That is one thing I do remember, because I'd never drunk it in my life. And there was one guy there from the Midlands, Middle Earth, going, "Got to be quick, we're knocking these brandy and Lovages back." There's a pool table in the pub, and there's some younger people playing the pool table. I thought, I've had enough of you old fuckers. I'm going to go over and talk to these people. So I've gone over to the pool table, using my natural charm and grace, got chatting to them. And I have ended up in a sort of corner talking to a young lady, a bit older than me, and that has manifested into me then taking her back to the house I'm staying with my mate. And I'm not going to put, I don't even know how to say this, as I said, I share too much. Absolute disaster. Fumbling, fucking pissed. I'm sure it was not memorable for her in any way, that, you know, when I say men are great at driving, sex and poker, I don't know, that's the three things. This was just a fucking disaster. Nothing good about it. So just remember getting that all out of the way and it all being horrible. Felt sorry for her. And then I've walked her off home and I've staggered around and ended up back at where I should be staying, gone to bed. I don't know, by now it's 2-3 in the morning. And I have to say that the fumbling bit probably only filled about 2-3 minutes of that time period. And I've gone, got up in the morning, my mate has come out, he's absolutely pissing himself. Fucking state of you last night, had a go at Jethro, had a go at the people from Wolves. I've got banging it. I'm like, oh no, how'd it go with the bird? Could hear you out here. I'm thinking, oh, for fuck's sake. So we've got showered and changed. Let's go up the golf club and have some breakfast, and I can put this old sorry mess behind me, play golf, and get off this island. And gone up there, sat at the clubhouse, cup of tea, and whatever, fried breakfast. So I'm sat there. I feel dreadful. You're banging headache. I'm not really worried about what I said to Jethro, and that was a bit concerned about what I'd said to the guys from Wolves, because they probably didn't deserve it. But I wasn't at all worried about Jethro. I stand by it to this day. He's a fucking cock. Bloke comes in who's the guy I'm playing with from the island, the member of the golf club. So he comes in, sees us having breakfast, walks over. Oh, here now, how are you? Good night last night, blah, blah, blah. And next to him is a woman. And this is fucking horrific. He says, Ian, this is Helen. Helen, this is Ian. Helen's my fiance. I'm going to be, she's going to be walking around with us, going to caddy for me today. She's going to walk around with us. Helen was Helen of the 2 or 3 minutes of fumbling from 6 hours previous. And that is no word of a lie. So she's looked at me, I've looked at her, neither of us knows what to do. Nice to meet you. And now I've got to walk for 3-4 hours around a golf course with her. And I thought, this is just horrendous. This is now turning into a disaster. Didn't know where to look. Couldn't tell you this day whether they've got married. But we've teed off now to play golf, and we're off, and I just feel horrendous. I'm not particularly playing well. It's all just horribly awkward, and there's a hole in front of the clubhouse. You come back in front of the clubhouse, there's only 9 greens and 18 tees in different places, because obviously they're limited land they've got there. And you tee off, or teeing off in front of the clubhouse, and I drove one down there. And as I'm walking to my ball, and I've hit it in the middle of the fairway, there's somebody walking towards a ball which is close to mine from the other fairway. Because they are so close together, you do get these crossovers, and he's obviously hit it from that hole, the hole running parallel across onto the same hole as me. And our balls are quite close together. As I get a bit closer, I realise it's our old comedian friend, Jethro. So he gets to his ball before I get to mine, so I stand to the side about 10-15 yards away and wave him to play, and I can see he knows it's me. I'm certain he knows it's me and what's gone on. And all I'm saying to myself, he takes his club out, he takes the fairway wood out, has a couple of practice swings. He's left-handed, so he's looking right at me. He's not turned with his back to me. If he was right-handed, he's looking right at me as he's playing these practice swings, and they're awful. I mean, I can just see looking at him, he can't fucking hit it. So all I'm saying to myself is don't laugh. This has been a fucking disastrous few days, couple of days. Don't laugh. So he steps up to his ball. He takes this mighty fucking great corkscrew backswing. Comes down. I kid you not. I'm not lying. He hits the ball. Hits the ground probably 12, 15 inches behind the ball. Massive great. I think it was the divot that moved the ball. A massive great lump of turf. And the ball just scuttles along the floor 10 yards. And I just pissed myself. I couldn't stop it. I just absolutely pissed myself. And he is fucking fuming. And I mean fuming. He's walked to his ball. He's picked it up. He's walked to the clubhouse. And he's gone home. He's meant to be doing a 10-minute stand-up in the evening at the prize giving. He fucked off completely, left the island. And I was known. I played in that for 6-7 years. I was known as the man who drove Jethro away from the Isles of Scilly Pro-Am. And I got ribbed for it. Even my best man even brought it up at my wedding. Because it lived with me for a long time. I became a legend out there. I played in it 6-8 years. Won it once. And our team won it. But I just became a bit of a legend out there. It was great fun. Absolutely great fun. But all that is, people say to me, I didn't happen, all this is bollocks. That is exactly gospel truth. From everything that happened there, did happen. Brilliant. Well, I don't know whether you guys find it fun. For me, it's a great memory. I look back with cringe and laughter. Just great, great fun. The whole night was great, great fun. I can picture myself revving up at him. But there you go. So yeah, that's that. Right, so I've got nothing. There is a bit of racing, but nothing from me. There's no couple of football games, but again, nothing for me. We will have an ultimate session tomorrow to process. I do obviously understand that people have had mixed results. I fully get it. I'm fairly steadfast. I've actually done okay, which probably people don't want to hear. I'm very, very positive for next year. I've got some great stuff for you guys, I think, to help. I will try and help anybody within reason. I've got some great stuff. I have actually taken some time to look at bits I do and get a structure, particularly for the Mindset Mondays. I think it's so important. So I really hope that I can help more people with those. Help people with ways to bet, how to bet, through the Telegram group, through the podcasts. I can't say any more than that. I will do my best to help people. That's sort of my sole motivation, genuinely. Again, whether people believe that or not, but I can't look at a short period of results in isolation. I look over time, but it's not just all about that. There's other elements to it, to how we go about actually setting people up and doing this, which I've given a lot of thought to over. Even in the time I've been doing the Mindset Mondays, I think I can do them better. So I've got some big stuff in my head at the minute, ready for 2021, which I hope to get out over the first couple of months of the year. You know what I'm like, but I'm going to make a concerted effort. One of my goals is to be a bit more organised and manage my time better. I've thoroughly enjoyed this week taking the dog out for a walk, going to the beach, went and saw some Highland cows yesterday. I don't even know if they are Highland cows, but we went to a country park with her. It was lovely. I've probably spent less time on my laptop in the last 2 days than I have in any period over the last 8-9 months, maybe even longer. Even when I went to Vegas, I was on it more than I have been the last 2 days, and I've absolutely loved it. And I sort of made a vow to Sam that I'll help her through her birthday in this period and spend a bit of time, and I've really, really enjoyed it. But from Monday, it's back, you know, work mode, full work mode. I will, as I say, I'm like doing Mindset Monday this Monday. We'll start the following week. But I've got some stuff that I want to get out and share. And I think I'm going to have a great 2021. I think I can help a lot of people. But obviously we are living in strange times, and they're going to be strange for 5-6 months. And that's the way it is. It's nothing we can do about it, and nothing anybody we can say at the minute is going to change any of that. It is going to play out how it's going to play out. But by this time next year, I'm convinced we will be in a better place. Certainly people in the hospitality industry and that will, who've had a horrendous time, will be in a better place. And we'll get through, and life will go on, and things do things do go back to normal. But I want to thank you all for listening. I know 2021 has been a horrific year in many ways. You know, we've had our own horrors with baby being born early, you know, baby and mum being in intensive care, extremely worrying sort of stuff that we couldn't do anything about. And I know people have had far worse. There's been people who've lost loved ones, everything. It's been horrific. It will get better. And I, you know, I can help people in certain areas. I can help people, hopefully, with the pods, with a bit of lightheartedness and keep you going. It keeps me going as well. I can help people on a betting side, no matter how bleak it may seem. I can help people navigate through that if they're willing to do it right over a period of time. Anybody I can help with that. You know, the rest, there's things that we can't control that we just have to let go. You know, I've always had a saying, control the controllables. That's why one of my biggest assets is I don't get too stressed about betting, because I can't control whether Liverpool score a goal or not. All I can do is keep doing things and hopefully do enough of them right, which I managed to do over a period of time. And I've, you know, certainly the people in my groups, trading groups and that, honestly, it's going to be a fantastic year. I'm telling you that now. But it's a process, and I understand that, and I understand that there's people who've had a shit time, but all we can do is look forward. So thank you. As I say, the pods will keep going. I'll do as much as I can to keep people happy. Tomorrow we'll have the vasectomy story, which is one where, again, you can all laugh at me. We'll get through this weekend and then get into next year, and people, when we can do stuff on goals and helping people. But thank you all for listening. Honestly, I can't say it enough. There is no pod if you guys don't listen. And you're all, to a man, pretty much fantastic members of FTS, even people who aren't, you know, the people like Lord Dio and that. I'm not going to say they're friends, mates, but they're people I enjoy the interaction with. You know, lots of good people that I probably don't give a shout out to, that perhaps I should more, because you do keep me going as well. I love banter and humour. That's what I like. I do enjoy. I don't mind people having a dig at me in that regard, as long as they can take it back. But have a good a night as you can tonight. I know it's difficult. It's going to be very difficult for us. I think the first time ever that Sam and I have been on our own, and sort of double whammy with it being her birthday. But have as good a time as you can, and things will get better. Enjoy your 2020 end, and we'll look forward to a new year. And I have pressed the record button, so hopefully this one all worked. I will speak to you all tomorrow morning.